This is your boy DJ Rampage. I'm throwing it back crazy. Pray you dig it.
The Lance Day Radio Network is brought to you by U.S. Hunger. Did you know that 1 in 8 households in the United States are food insufficient? Join us at ushunger.org to learn about our many volunteer projects and become a hunger hero today.
Yeah, welcome to the Mix Show Madness. Turn me up. Know who I be? DJ Rampage.
Rigidy growl, give me the bad suits. Here I go, so rigidy fling on Geronimo. Yo, I rigidy burn, rigidy rubber when I blabber. Great, I rigidy make the Wonder Twins the actor. Fake, it's crazy. I'm rigidy breaking backs and busting lips. I rigidy freak, glad this night and those freaking lips. Shrimps, I'm rigidy make enough noise like bam bam. Throw boulders from bedrock, you'll get dropped by slam man, so check it. I rigidy wreck it quick, oh shucks. I give it to got big ducks like daddy war bucks. Oh Anna, I rigidy rock the coca cabana. Banana, split, ha, hook, spit, so sick. I rigidy freak it from here to Bangladesh. I'm rigidy ripping flesh, but I get stressed like this. Shish, rigidy shush, kid, you'll get done. Squish for fun, I rigidy rhyme like no one. I rigidy bum, rigidy rush, rigidy chumps, I'm savage. I shake them up and down like the Dow Jones average. I'm cocky like Rocky, I rigidy bangs the best. So rigidy tell your friend chum, cause here comes that's a best.
Yeah, spit, you know what I'm saying?
Higgity hoy there, matey. Oh, my giggity got stuff blow. My Saturday nights are live as a show. It's composed, so yo. Higgity take the bait for Charlie Tuna. See, I be the boogie banger like a tire since the boomer. I'm giggity hot to trot and giggity got.
Back on Lance Day Radio Network, if you miss the show on Sirius XM 141 HR Voices, you can always find every single segment on Lance Day Plus. All of the interviews, I even have some uncensored content that I cannot air. 141, Carlin, won't allow us to swear. Not that you are dealing with whatever use that type of language. I've been known to swear on occasions, but not on the show. You know, I promised my family that I would not disrespect the Bradford Shield with some of my off-kilter thoughts that may be detrimental to our family and our reputation. But
I think Dalen may have seen me swear for the first time.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Today. Wow. I think he may have witnessed me.
Was your daughter tackled?
Nah. Okay. Me and Dante Jones got into it on the bench. And,
oh, okay.
It was straight back to the hood, and I had to let my brother know.
Were you ashamed of your father? Like,
honestly, I mean, I wasn't. I wasn't surprised, honestly, when you're around a type of character like Dante himself. You're not surprised if he can't go 36 without getting into it with somebody. So I was surprised it was my dad, but. I wasn't surprised.
Dante's very high energy. He's very intense.
Yeah, very intense. That's one word to describe him.
He's very intense. He's old school. Mm. So my coach, was old school. He was cuss you out, throw a clipboard, suicides till you vomit type of guy. Me not being an elite athlete by any stretch, that worked for me because it pushed me to, you know, he's literally, I'm out trying to run a mile and he's running behind me with a megaphone telling me to get my knees up. And me, a non-athlete, was able to run a mile, you know, at like 7:45, which for me is amazing. Like, that's unbelievable because I'm not an athlete. But that was mostly because he was yelling at me. And that motivated me. But, you know, I think they're different type of coaches. Very funny looking at the coach for Connecticut. He's very, very intense. Dan Hurley. He's very, very intense. You look at Calipari and Arkansas's run. Calipari used to be very intense. Now that he's an older guy, he's super laid back. Like, he's just become, I never thought that I'd see Coach Cal as a player's coach. Like, I never thought that I'd see that day. Because back in the, era where he had John Wall and he had all of that talent, he was extremely intense. You're going to be here for 1 year. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to run you into the ground. Even in NBA, you look at what's going on in New York. You know, their coach, Coach Tibbs, is just too intense.
Yeah,
he's playing everybody 45 minutes a game.
Right.
He's just super intense. So it's funny that different coaches have different styles. I wanted to talk, first and foremost, you know, you guys being more Nashvilleian than I. You know, I've only been here for, what, 4 years now? I was been close to 5 years. I see the stadium every time I come in from Hendersonville, Goodlettsville, where I live, out in that area. I see the stadium just getting bigger and bigger. Like, this thing is just going up faster and faster. I know it's not supposed to open until 27. It looks like it's going to be ready to open by the end of this year, the pace that they're going at. You're really starting to see what it's going to kind of look like, and you're getting excited. I'm not even from here, but I'm like, man, I'm not going to that dump where they play games now. I think I had an epic rant about the stadium with you and Big. We were down at WrestleMania, SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
And I talked about the stadium. But what they're building, me as a football fan, but not a Titans fan, I'm like, if they have a good experience, me and my wife will go twice a year. When the Colts are in town, my team will go. We'll go if there's a compelling story coming into town. What do you feel about the stadium? And then what do you feel, Dale, and you talked about offline, about having the first pick? And, you know, the streets are saying that the Titans are going to take Cam Ward. You were saying that you want them to take Shadur. So I'm just curious of your thoughts about the state of sports here in Nashville. I was just at dinner with a couple of friends yesterday, and we ate right across the street from the Sounds game. I think it was the first game of the season for the Sounds. Mm-hmm. And there was just a huge crowd. And we all know that Nashville is going to get an MLB expansion team at some point. Right, it's just, will it happen? Will the Tampa Bay Rays move here? Will they get an expansion team? But they're going to have a team here in Nashville in the next 10 years, probably sooner than that. Can they build on that stadium? I was just looking at the land. I was just like, can they actually add 20,000 seats to that stadium? Would they end up playing down at the soccer field? Like, it's just, just give us a synopsis of the state of Nashville sports right now.
So I actually have seen plans for expansion for First Horizon, and it does include 20 to 25,000 additional seats. And they can do it. They actually built the stadium to expand when they first built it.
Okay.
So when they opened, they did the scrimmage against the Texas Rangers, and I believe the Rangers brass, they beat them. And I think the Rangers brass was like, they're like a top 10 MLB city right now. That's what they said, because of everything that was growing at the time. And Nashville has become a hot city, it city before COVID, and you know, everybody comes here to party. And so they were like very, very impressed with how it was built. You know, so there's a lot of room.
It's not an it city unless you've lived here. If you're trying to come here and buy a tall skinny for $900,000, it's less of an it city.
Yeah.
But
the numbers don't lie. At one point in time, there was 100 people a day moving here. So, you know, it is what it is. But they're ready to rock and roll whenever that happens.
All right.
But as far as, like, my office is downtown, like a minute and 30 seconds away from the new stadium.
All right.
So I see it in the mornings when I go into the Entrepreneur Center. Shout out to the Entrepreneur Center. My tech partner's down there.
All right.
And you would think that because it takes a long time to build something like that, that I would be like, well, that part wasn't there. Literally every day that I pass it, something major has been added to it.
Okay.
They are building that thing fast.
Okay.
And I can't help but think, I think that Cam Ward will be the number one pick just because that's where all the news is trending, right? Like, there's not a cultural fit here for Shadur Sanders, but I don't understand why somebody with his dynamic personality, his marketability, and you got a new stadium. Like, if this wasn't Nashville, if the fan base wasn't writing Cam Newton threatening letters because he danced in the end zone and they said it was soiling the mind of the daughters of
If he had done that for Tennessee, they would have been cool with it.
Right. Well, maybe. So, right? Because we did have Pac-Man. But anyway, people don't understand how much fun they would have Shadur throwing a touchdown and then raising that right arm with the Rolex flex. Now, they'd all be doing it. They'd all have on their fake Rolexes. It's the shine. It's everything that would come with it. You need a name. Somebody, when you got the 28th ranked offensive line, somebody who's been sacked 92 times in 2 years and still set the NCAA record for completion percentage sounds like more of a fit than Cam Ward. It's like you need somebody who's going to be resilient, tough, still accurate.
I wouldn't pick either of them first. I wouldn't pick either of them before 10th. But I'm curious at Dalen's thoughts, because Dalen, you don't want Cam Ward, right?
No, I don't want.
Would you consider yourself to be a Titans fan first and foremost?
I would consider myself to be a Titans fan,
right?
In a vague aspect.
Okay. So you're not diehard.
No, I'm not diehard now. It could change because now I'm
all right.
Now I'm getting older. I used to do a lot of stuff just because that's what my parents did, that's what my dad did.
Fair enough.
But like, I was born here in Nashville.
Right.
The Titans, like, we don't got an NBA team. We don't got an, you know, MLB team. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, you know, even though we're not good, it's like, it's kind of hard not to root for the team you're born
with. Right. It's absolutely.
You know, so that's what I've been thinking. But I think we should draft Shador just because of Reading's, I mean, football, of course. I mean, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. But
I agree.
Besides football, I don't think people realize how big of an impact that would do on the city. I mean, like, you got somebody who literally, I didn't even know that, like, what Boulder was until.
Right. Wow. Until, see, that's a great perspective. You know what I'm saying? That's why I asked you to come on the show.
Until him and Dion, and, like, they brought everybody there. I mean, you got celebrities who never even stepped in to that, you know, state, you know what I'm saying, coming in. And what do you do to Nashville? I mean, if Nashville wants to expand the city, I mean, why aren't you taking opportunities and getting a quarterback where you haven't had success in, like, in a long time? I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I was the little, McNair maybe.
Days before you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say Mariota, but we see how that worked out. So, you know.
Right.
They just capitalize on a lot of stuff. I don't think they're thinking straight if they're not thinking Shador as the guy. But I know it's a lot of stuff. Right.
So he's already figured out that Bud Adams' daughter doesn't know what she's doing. Like, he can already put that together.
At all.
I know when I was 16, 17-ish, I didn't have enough wherewithal to understand that we had bad leadership. I didn't know that Jim Irsay, the owner of my Colts, didn't know what he was doing and that he was getting popped for Percocet and Molly and stuff. I just knew that the Colts weren't any good until they got Peyton Manning. And even with Peyton Manning, they only were able to procure one Super Bowl. Which, having one Super Bowl with Peyton Manning for 12 years is almost impossible. Like, you have to be extraordinarily dysfunctional to only get one chip with him. I think that Nashville, so I agree with both of you as an outsider. I want Nashville to win. It's a nice city. It's good people here. You know, I rip the brass and the leadership. I think the fans are good fans. There is some racism here.
Yes.
There is an element of... you know, I hear a lot of words on the radio locally, like recalcitrant, that are used to describe, you know, agitator. Mm-hmm. I even hear the word boy. You know, some of these Skeeters and Cletuses calling from, you know, outside of Nashville, they refer some of the things I've heard about. He was a young black quarterback they brought in from Liberty.
Malik Willis,
not a bad kid. But just wasn't ready to play at that point. But some of the things I heard about Malik Willis, it was very personal. It's almost like he intentionally is disrespectful to Coach Vrabel and the city. I'm just like, I don't see that. I just see a kid that's probably overmatched. He played at Liberty. So there's a big difference from coming to Liberty and then your quarterback gets hurt in game six. You're out there, you know, slinging it around. But there's a racial element. But I think that Cam Ward, the more you look at Cam Ward, he has some of the same swag. Him and Shador trained together.
Right. They have
their
the same
whole
quarterback
life.
Coach.
Yeah. The same quarterback coach. They're the same. Yeah. They're kind of the same guy to an extent. So I don't know if we're going to get out of that with Cam Ward. Yeah. He's flashier than people think. And he went to the U.
Yeah.
You know, people forget that. He went to the freaking U. It's.
I think one of the major things is that you get Cam Ward, you don't get Deion. Basically, you know what I'm saying?
So you think that Deion's in play to come?
I think Deion's a big, major impact. I mean, of course, he'll stay in Colorado, but he'll be here.
But just being here.
Yeah, and I don't think that the fans like to do that because Deion's somebody they can't control. You get what I'm saying? Like, if, you know, Malik went to Liberty.
That's very well put.
You know, that's a basically predominantly white institution.
It's evangelical.
You know, you get what I'm saying? And Deion just brings his own level of confidence, swagger that they know they can't control. And when people can't control stuff, they get scared. So
on a football element too, the Titans have a horrible track record of developing quarterbacks. They've never developed one. Not the Titans. All right. And I'm not talking about the Oilers because see, they inherited Steve McNair when they moved here. Right. So I was here when they first moved here. When you go down the list, you go down Will Levis, Mr. Mayonnaise. Nope, fail. Malik
I'm not
Willis,
mad at him. He's going to need that mayonnaise money because he's going to be sitting here doing a podcast with the three of us in a couple of years.
Absolutely. You got Malik Willis, fail. You got Jake Locker. Dalen picked him off at a football camp.
About that.
a fail.
Mariota.
Vince,
right.
Mariota, fail. Vince Young, fail.
And he was almost a can't-miss prospect.
Vince Young. And the thing is because they treated McNair like trash at the end. Right. Remember they locked him out of the facility and sent him off the ball to a rival, to your arch rival? Right. He should have stayed
That's
around.
A cultural issue. That's respect.
Absolutely. So they don't have a track record. The most success they have are with free agent quarterbacks. So as much as you want to talk about Tannehill, his last move was in the AFC Championship before he went to sleep.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Neil O'Donnell, before McNair really took over, really was a serviceable quarterback. But he's a free agent because they have no structure in place. So I wouldn't want to see – now, you said, who would I pick? But I don't know that I would want to see Shadur or Campus. I actually want to see both of them do well. I don't think I would want them here because I don't think that the Titans would develop them.
There ain't no more verses. Got shit rocking like I'm about to just drop some new A bastard child at the age of 16 get the game. Yeah, man.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network. And Doug.
What do we always say, son? Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance.
So you only pay for what you need.
That's my boy. And you get out there and you make us proud, huh?
Bye, Uncle Emu.
Up the freeways.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
James Lewis.
Some of the older kids were sitting behind me. They were making fun of my haircut. So you're sitting in church. I can hear them clowning. They're making fun of the haircut. They're having jokes. They're having jokes. I'm sitting with my boys a row in front of them. We get to one of the parts where you have to stand in church, I think is where at our church, there's a part where you meet and greet people. So you shake people's hands, you pray with them. Hey, good to see you, Elder. Good to see you.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
I turned around as we were all standing up to sing the next hymn, and I slapped the living hell out of this person. I mean, I slapped them. It was like Chris Rock getting slapped by Will Smith beforehand. The only thing I did do is like take a glove off like a Frenchman and slap him across the face with the glove. Like I slap, this is a 13-year-old slapping the taste out of a 17-year-old's mouth. Like this guy was a star player on the basketball team. None of those guys ever mess with me ever again.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy. Because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. The Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.